Holy and gracious God, bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sheryl Sandberg is the COO of Facebook and the author of New York Times best-selling book, Lean In. By all accounts, she is a wildly successful person. 2 years ago, when she and her husband of 11 years, Dave Goldberg, CEO of SurveyMonkey, took a trip to Mexico, everything seemed rosy. But during the trip, Dave suddenly died of what was later determined to be a cardiac event. Sheryl returned home to tell their young children that their father died and to figure out how in the world she was going to live the rest of her life. As she writes in her new book, Option B, Facing Adversity, Building Resilience, and Finding Joy, she writes these words, "And so began the rest of my life. It was and still is a life I never would have chosen. A life I was completely unprepared for, the unimaginable. I don't know anyone who's been handed only roses. We all encounter hardships. Some we see coming. Others take us by surprise. It can be as heartbreaking as a relationship that unravels or as disappointing as a dream that goes unfulfilled. The question is, when these things happen, what do we do next? What do we do next?" As we celebrate with our graduates today and we think about our faith as Christians and we think about our lives, learning to live in option B is a lifelong lesson, a journey of faith, a reminder of how to handle the inevitable hardships and twists and turns that come when option A is no longer available to us. We spend a great deal of time, our time, planning how things are to go in our lives. It helps us to feel like we're in control. It reassures us. It makes large tasks seem more attainable. And then life throws us a curveball. And I know many of you have faced difficult times. Plan A is no longer available. The one we planned, instead, we have to go with Plan B. A few years ago, while I was visiting a growing and thriving church in Portland, Maine, the pastors were describing the journey of the church as it grew from what it was to what it is now. And I smiled as the pastors shared this PowerPoint slide with us. Because most of the time, life turns out very differently than we have planned. In case you can't see that, the first line there is what I planned, and the second is what actually happened. The truth is that we all live in Plan B. As we look back on our lives, we discover Plan A rarely is the one that ends up working or the final plan. Our faith tells us over and over again that God will be with us in the twists and turns of Plan B. God even tells us not to worry because God cares for us and is with us no matter what. The scripture we heard from Luke's gospel this morning is a good one for us to remember. A reminder not to worry because God will be with us. We are told that we should remember how God cares for the flowers and the birds and how God cares even more for us. We are to steep ourselves in God's realm and trust God when the twists and turns of life come. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Does not God care more for you than those? The people in the time of Ezra found themselves returning from exile and having to completely and totally rebuild their lives. It's not what they would have chosen, and it certainly was not what they had planned. They were sad, and they were afraid, and they were searching for meaning. They looked to their faith to sustain them as they rebuilt their lives, their society, and most of all, their temple. One of the ways we live with Plan B is when we look for meaning and remind ourselves of God's working in our lives. I'm not saying that God intends or causes for the twists and turns to happen. The twists and turns are simply a part of life. But what I am saying is that one of the ways that we can build capacity to move from Plan A to Plan B is to find meaning through our faith. We have to look for that meaning and then live into it. I want to share with you the following video clip from Byron Augusta as he shares his story of finding meaning when Plan B came to his life. We'll give it a moment, or the preacher's going to have to go to Plan B as well. Bob, I'm just going to talk about Byron, okay? And we'll see, and we'll give Bob another minute. So Byron served in President Obama's administration in the as the Undersecretary of Economic Development. But Byron was born originally in the United Kingdom, and his family moved to Arizona.
And left London when I was 10 months old.
When they moved to the United States, his younger brother Daryl was born. And Daryl used to tease Byron because Daryl said, "I can be president, but you can't because you weren't born here. But when I grow up, I'll be president. And if you..." So Daryl, when Daryl was born, he said that to Byron, that if he became president, he would let his brother, if he was nice to him, become the Secretary of State. Later, as they were growing up, they took a walk with their father to McDonald's in Phoenix. And on the way there, unfortunately, a drunk driver hit them and instantly killed Daryl, Byron's little brother. Byron himself was injured. Both of his legs were broken, and his father was also hospitalized and in very grave condition, but his father survived and then woke up from his injuries and saw Byron and was so glad to see him. And then, of course, it was so difficult when the family had to share with their dad that Daryl had died. Byron said that while he was lying in the hospital, many of his friends from school came to visit him. He was in seventh or eighth grade at the time. And what happened was that for the first part of their visit, everybody was very, very somber. And Byron decided that he couldn't live that way, so he made some jokes, and it helped relax everyone. And while he was there in the hospital, Byron said, "I made a decision that I was going to keep on living no matter what, no matter how sad I felt." And so Byron decided to run for student council, and just a week after he got out of the hospital, he was elected president of the student council of the school. He went on to go to Oxford, and he got his degree in economics, a master's, and then a PhD in economics, and then he became, as I said, a part of President Obama's administration. And he says this about living in Plan B, that we have to look for meaning, and that when option A is no longer available, we have to say to ourselves, we're going to live now in this new reality, and we're going to embrace it and do everything we can to make it as good a life as possible. And so when he met and married his wife, their first child was a boy, and they named him Daryl in honor of his brother. So you can watch that video on YouTube if you Google his name. His last name is spelled A-U-G-U-S-T-E. And it's an incredible and amazing story of living in Plan B. It's tempting, as we're coping with the difficulties of living with Plan B, to shut ourselves off from others. And instead of being open to the things that are around us and there for us, it's very tempting when we're afraid or hurt or depressed or struggling to keep our minds and hearts closed. It's it's kind of what we want to do. Our natural inclination in difficult times is to close ourselves off, to circle the wagons, to keep others from our grief. But God promises us that in the midst of our grief and despair, God is doing something new. Even in the most devastating of times, God is offering us new life if we will be open to receive it. This is why it is so important for us to remain open, to listen and to look for how we might be receiving new life. This past week, Wes Brunn received a gift from his daughter-in-law, Terry. It is the painting that's right here below the pulpit, and it was done in honor of Wes's wife, Bev. Terry painted this after Bev's memorial service. Many of you were here for that this past fall. You can't see it as easily from the balcony or from the back seat, so I invite you at the end of the service to come and take a look at it. It's the figure of a woman, and underneath it, it says, "Stay open to the possibilities. Stay open to the possibilities." Painted in honor of Bev. It's a reminder that we need to keep tending our hope and our hearts as Plan A shifts to Plan B. It's also a reminder of the way that God often works through all things for good. We need to stay open and look for the ways in which God is bringing new life in Plan B. None of us are promised roses. Plan A is rarely how things work out. As we live in Plan B, let us remember our faith and God's promise to be with us, and let us also remain faithful and hopeful and open to the ways in which God is offering us new life in Plan B. Amen.